Army veteran and quadruple amputee Travis Mills discusses his retreat for wounded veterans and his life in the spotlight. The last time Travis Mills joined us on Maine Calling in 2016, he just published a book, a memoir about the IED explosion in Afghanistan that took all his limbs and his journey to recovery. It was called As Tough As They Come. At the time, Travis dreamed of opening a resort in Maine for wounded veterans. Well, a lot has happened in the past 2 years. The Travis Mills Foundation embarked on a $2.5 million renovation of the former Elizabeth Arden Estate in the Belgrade Lakes region and opened it for the first time last year, hosting 84 families of wounded veterans. The resort reopens for a new season in June. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today, Travis Mills is joined by the head of his foundation to discuss his life and their mission. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. A little over 6 years ago, while in Afghanistan during his third tour of duty, Army Staff Sergeant Travis Mills set down his backpack on a buried IED and woke up 3 days later having lost four of his limbs. Today, Mills is a best-selling author and champion for combat injured veterans. Travis joins me today to talk about the Travis Mills Foundation and the retreat he created here in Maine. Also joining us is Kelly McGowey. She's program director for the Travis Mills Foundation Retreat for Wounded Vets and Families. And as always, we want to hear from you. What questions do you have for Travis or Kelly? Have you been inspired, like so many other people, by Travis's story and his actions? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. So, Travis, in the past couple years since you were last on Maine Calling, you've been kind of busy.
I mean, a little bit. Yeah, I've been doing a couple things. Thanks for having me, by the way. I really appreciate it.
And we love having you here. So you've raised the money for and opened the retreat. You've had a full season. You've had multiple celebrity appearances. You added to your family. Am I leaving anything out? Oh, there might be a reality show.
Yep, there's a possibility of a reality TV show based off a marina that I bought, which is exciting. I did add to the family. My wife and I welcomed into the world our little baby boy, Dax, D-A-X, after the two medics that saved my life, Daniel and Alexander. The foundation, we brought out 84 families last year. This year, we're on pace to do about 128 families is the plan. And I'll tell you what, it's all in honesty who you surround yourself with. I have been able to surround myself with the right people to get us where we are today. Very thankful to have the people behind us helping us push this mission. And just thankful for all the great things we have going on. I mean, we just had a big fundraiser 5K yesterday in Augusta, and we were able to raise $105,000.
Wow.
Biggest one yet, sixth annual, and everybody knows the money goes right to the cause. You know, as the president of the foundation, I have six board members. Nobody takes a dollar, and it's all about just giving back. And yeah, we're just so grateful to be able to do the work that we do.
Kelly, I want to hear your story and how you got involved in the Travis Mills Foundation in just a second. But first on the line with us, Senator Angus King. Senator King, what would you like to say to Travis Mills?
Well, I think the main thing I want to say is thanks, man. Mary and I were up there for your open house about a month ago. Rainy day didn't seem to dampen anybody's enthusiasm. It's absolutely amazing, Travis, what you've achieved. And the other thing that stuck out for us was all of the support you've gotten from local merchants and businesses that have helped with the furnishing and the landscaping. It's a real community project, but your inspiration and leadership is what made it happen.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that, sir, and welcome to the show, you champion. And also, my daughter was fortunate to fly back on an airplane with my wife and sit right next to this lovely guy. And Chloe could not wait to tell her, like, oh, my gosh, so my daddy is Travis Mills. And then he said, I'll be at the open house.
Let the record show, we were in coach, right, Travis? I mean,
yeah, I wasn't there. Remember, I had to fly out somewhere else for work. But, no, absolutely. But my wife was excited. They got talking, and then my daughter couldn't wait to tell him. And then he said, I'll be at the open house. So they came out on a rainy day. And matter of fact, Senator King, if you didn't know this, one of your biggest fans is actually the gentleman that drove you in the van, my good friend Jack Arbor. He was so excited to talk about Bowden with you. I didn't know he was such a big fan of yours until he was just like, he's like, oh my gosh, Travis, like you're okay, but that was, do you know who that was? I said, yeah, I know who that was. He goes, I'm the biggest fan of his.
He picked us up down at the Hammond Lumberyard where people were being shuttled up to the retreat, and it was, I mean, it's sort of overwhelming. It must be, you must step back every now and then and say, man, how did all this come together like this? The place is so beautiful. You said you're going to have over 100 families this summer, you think?
Absolutely, sir. We're going to have about 128 families come out this year. We have them all scheduled, 16 weeks of programming. And, you know, next year we plan on even going bigger. And we plan on just keep it going to the point where we can host veteran resume building, veteran job workshops, and things like that all year round. So it truly is exciting, and you know, you've been a supporter this whole time, and I do appreciate it.
Senator King, I'm not letting you do my whole interview for me, but I want I want to ask you what the experience was like getting to see the retreat, getting to see the Travis Mills Foundation retreat in the Belgrade Lakes.
You know, I had heard about it, read about it, talked to Travis about it, but a very wise older guy once said to me, one day of seeing is better than 30 days of reading. And so for me to get up there and actually see it, it was really overwhelming and heartwarming and pretty emotional. I just have one other question for Travis, and that is, when you have these families up there from all over the country, do you get any comments about Maine? What do people think of Maine when they get up and see that beautiful spot?
Well, you know, people, obviously, they just can't wait to come back. We have kids that cry because they have to leave, and they say it's better than Disney World. We have wives that will tell us how their husband's doing this, or this is the first time they've ever been on vacation with their large family and actually had time to relax because everything was so well taken care of. And then we also have, obviously, the service members that are injured that can't thank us enough because we give them a place that's barrier-free. We let them know they don't, you know, have to feel awkward or think they look any different, and they can try new things without being embarrassed of their new normal that they live in. So, I mean, it's just very exciting. And I will point out to everybody out there, I was able to sit next to a certain somebody in the U.S. Capitol building before this retreat was ever built, because my documentary, Travis the Soldier Story, played in the U.S. Capitol, and Senator King made time to come sit with me and watch the whole entire documentary. So I do appreciate his support for this whole time, and everybody loves it. They can't wait to get back, and you know, we can't let them all come back. You know, we got to keep Maine.
We're with you, and hope to get up and see you this summer, maybe when some families are there. And Jennifer, back over to you. I'll give you your interview back.
Thank you. That's Senator Angus King calling in. Travis, you mentioned the documentary. That's on Netflix now, right?
It is. If you're sitting there and you're like, man, what am I going to do tonight? You go on Netflix, type in my name, Travis. It should pop up. And it just kind of covers the whole entire story. It has the medics to save my life, the two guys got injured with me, my brother-in-law, my parents, my in-laws, my beautiful wife, my daughter Chloe, who was 6 months old at the time when I did get injured in Afghanistan, and how we learned how to recover together and walk together and do everything together. It's on Netflix. So if you guys want to check it out, by all means, please feel free.
Okay, Kelly, I want to let you talk for a minute. How did you meet Travis Mills?
So I'm actually a physical therapist, and I spent a number of years at Walter Reed. And I met Travis and Kelsey during his recovery, and he was a ball of energy as soon as he came into the clinic, and he was able to convince me over the years. He got my fiance on board to move to Maine, and he worked quite hard at it for a little while, and we realized it was a great opportunity that we couldn't pass up. So now we're part of the Maine life up here.
So your program director, you're conceiving of really fun activities for combat injured veterans to take part in when they come to the retreat. What kinds of things are the veterans and their families doing?
So we wanted to be able to create opportunities for both the veteran to be able to do things adaptively, but also for the families to do things together. And so we have everything from a high ropes course, and we're right on the lake, so we can do kayaking, paddleboarding, golf, yoga, massages, you kind of fishing. You name it, you can think of it, and we'll find a way to make it happen. They do archery, they ride horses, and they're able to, you know, just really kind of spend quality time together. The idea is that hopefully they'll try something new that they have never done before, and maybe they'll realize that they can be really good at something that they didn't know they could still do, or they'll learn to ride a bike next to their kid, or, just things that that maybe there are barriers in their normal life to being able to do. And so the hope is that we expose them to that here, and then we can help them find resources to be able to continue to do it at home.
Okay, Travis, your favorite is riding the horses?
No, actually, I'm afraid to get on those darn things. My daughter rides horses. I said I'll never do it again. But they told me yesterday, the women that own the horse barn that do all the volunteer work for us to let us come do it, they said, we're going to get on that horse this year. And I said, oh, we'll see. But, I mean, Kelly's being pretty modest. I'll be honest with you. I'm very fortunate to hire the best staff, to have the wonderful people. She's a doctor of physical therapy. She was at Walter Reed, and she helped so many people learn how to recover with walking and getting back on their feet and doing better. And when it came down to, like, this program expanding and growing, I knew that Walter Reed, fortunately, was winding down with so many people getting injured. It wasn't like the year that I was there. We had, like, 120 guys come in. You know, it's pretty hot zone in Afghanistan and Iraq at the time. But when I finally, you know, got the chance, I was, you know, there's only one person I gave a call to and said, hey, would you want to give everything up, your career, you know, just come move to, like, Maine, no big deal, and do this. You know, it took a little bit convincing, but really her husband was just so fired up about snow. I mean, so, or not husband, sorry, soon to be husband. I'm just so excited. They're getting married, like, next week. But I convinced him to come, and you know, and she was like, yeah, I guess I'll come. And now she's the head honcho. She just runs all the programs for the families. And it's nice because a lot of people that come up, when they say they can't do something, or they're like, I'm not sure if I can do that. It's like, oh, actually, she's been a part of it. She knows you can, and you're not going to pull one over on her. But you should just see some of these testimonials these families leave for us and be able to witness, you know, we've had some wives in tears because their husband didn't think they could do something. Now they're with their kid paddleboarding or kayaking. And we don't just show them this great thing, say, oh, hey, great, awesome, job well done, now go home. Like, we give them the ability, like she said, we find them resources. Or we had a guy come up with a 3D printer that actually created prosthetic attachment to the arm so that they could take it home and do this stuff. We have guys that had harnesses sewn up right there on the spot so they could do archery. And they thought they'd never do it again because their hands are both messed up and their legs are gone. So it's pretty incredible that she's able to find what things are going to work, you know, find different programs. We're always expanding our horizons and trying new things. And very grateful to have her on the team and be a part of the staff, but also just, you know, helping us champion our mission forward.
Why was it so important to you to open a retreat for entire families and not just for the wounded veterans?
Well, So when I went to Colorado, I learned how to go downhill mountain biking. And when I was there, I learned how to kayak and canoe that trip too, but my wife got to go. I needed a non-medical assistant to help me with things. But a lot of guys, they don't need a non-medical assistant so much because they have their hands and the ability to maybe wash themselves or get themselves hooked up. And, you know, and that's fine. It's great because the funding's for the service member, and I get that. 100%, nothing wrong with that. Get as many people that got injured the ability to do this stuff and find that they still have a purpose and direction in life. But I thought my recovery was based mostly on the fact that, you know what, my wife and daughter are still here. I told my wife she should leave me. She didn't. My daughter's 6 months old. I'm still her father. I need to get better. And I based all of my recovery on the fact that I had to be there for them as a father figure, as a husband, I'm still alive. So when I looked around and I saw my wife was there, experienced these highs with me, you know, and getting through the difficult times of, I can't do this exercise or I can't do this activity, but, you know, revamping everything for me, I realized that there's a need for the families. And, you know, my wife and my daughter are probably the biggest reason I got better. There's no way to sugarcoat that or anything. So I thought, let's bring some families out. Let's say, hey, thanks for your service, and we'll bring your whole family out, no cost to you. Well, you know, it's all donation-based, but we'll bring them out. And I went to Great Wolf Lodge recently in Mass, right? And it's great. My daughter had a wonderful time. We went with our friends. But when I'm sitting there, I'm usually comfortable. Like, I don't mind people staring at me. But when I'm sitting there looking at 300 kids running around screaming, and then, you know, for all 300 kids, there's double that for adults usually. And I'm thinking, I'm going to take my shirt off. I got scars down my back. My right arm's really short. My left arm, I can't take in the water. So it's, like, going to be just – I'm just going to be all nubs. I thought, yeah, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. And a lot of our families that come up, you know, who's ever injured, the father, the wife or whatever – they might not feel as comfortable taking off their prosthetics and showing their scars. But here, we have a small intimate group of 8 families per week. We're able to have everybody that, you know they all fit in the same boat. There's no weirdness. And if you fall out of the kayak or you try to get in a paddleboard and you fall, you know, you can't do it right, we'll encourage you to do better. But also, we'll laugh with you. We're not going to make you feel like, oh, no, you poor boy. Are you okay? Like, come here, sweetheart. Let me coddle you. Like, we're like, no. I mean, Kelly's probably the most
tough love.
Yeah, she's like the most straightforward, nicest person. But the minute you say you can't do something or you complain about it, she's like, oh, really? Because I've done this for like 8 years or 10 years or whatever. But yeah, whatever. And she's just like, you're going to do it or I'm going to beat you.
We're going to find a way.
With hugs and love. But yeah.
There are many abbreviations for what PT stands for, and most of them resemble some sort of pain and torture. But, you know, there is always a way for it. And that's, you know, the beauty of my background and what I can bring to the table at the foundation of, you know, nobody comes and I hang my head real low if I can't find a way to adapt something. And it's the last person that I can't adapt it to, because anybody that comes after that, we figured it out. And that doesn't happen very often. You know, we're able to rig something up. We bring someone in. We create some sort of an opportunity. And, you know, to bring whole families, we recognize that maybe Travis is the one that doesn't have any arms and legs, but it changes the dynamics of his entire family. You know, can he do things with his kids? Absolutely. Are they done in exactly the same way? No. You know, can they spontaneously go on a vacation and not worry about what kind of a hotel room they're going to be in, or where they can rent a vehicle that's going to work for them, or, you know, any number of things that people mostly take for granted. And so we've tried to think of as much of that as we can and take those barriers away in creating the environment that we do there. And, you know, to listen to kids stand in a line on the dock and look at all the prosthetics and say, I can't find dad's legs. And that's just something that's totally normal for to come flying out of their mouth is, you know, we used to at the hospital, we would call them Matsy-isms. It was things that only kids in that environment would say, and nobody else, you know, would think that a 3-year-old had a prosthetic word that would come out of their mouth and that would be normal. And so we've tried very hard to create a sort of safe environment that they can just enjoy and not have to worry about.
And see other parents in the same situation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, the babies that grew up at Walter Reed, like my daughter, when we left there, she wasn't old enough to really understand everything. But, you know, now she has kids that like, oh, that's my dad. Yeah, he's missing a leg. And then she'll be like, oh, watch this. And she'll twist my hand and pop my hand off. His hand comes right off. Can you believe it, guys? My daughter's kind of like the tour guide in the summertime. I go out there to say hi to the families and do what I can when I'm in town and I'm around, because I'm on the road speaking a lot nowadays. But when I get out there, you know, I'm like, hey, Cole, you want to go? And she's 6. So she's like, yeah, I'll go out there with your dad. And then she's running around with the kids. Hey, did you guys see this secret spot or this place? And she's like her own little tour guide out there.
That's great. And kids keep it real.
Oh, yeah.
Very.
Most honest.
Very.
Like one little girl, our friend Dave, he's missing a hand and he lost an eye. It's probably, I can call him Pirate Dave. We call him Pirate Dave and he loves it. But either way, his daughter comes up and she said, do you own this place? And I want to give the politically correct response. So I'm like, well, you know, it's a bunch of people that kind of come together. Like, I don't own it outright. And she's just like, thank you. And gave me a big hug. And I was like, you know, I probably should have just said yes. And say, you know what I mean? But but I always want to make sure people understand that this is because everybody believes in our mission. Everybody gives back to us. And they understand that it's not just us doing it. It's not just me and my wife and people on our staff like Kelly, Chris, and Brandy, and Tyler, and Tiffany. It's really because they all understand that they're part of the community. They're part of the inner circle, and they're giving this ability to these families. We actually had Day's Store in Belgrade with Diane, the owner there. She actually gave every family last year a $50 gift card to come to her store and get any supplies that they needed right there on Belgrade in Belgrade off of Long Pond. So just amazing the people that have jumped in and done things. I mean, it's a laundry list I don't have in front of me, and it is incredible.
You could never thank everyone. They're just you'd be here all day. The community is incredibly warm and welcoming and supportive, and everyone's thankful to be a part of it.
Well, we're here with Travis Mills and also Kelly McGowie, who's program director for the Travis Mills Foundation. We do have to take a quick break. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Welch & Forbes. Customized investment portfolios, private trustees, family office services since 1838. WelchForbes.com. And Maine Community Foundation, celebrating 35 years of investing in Maine communities. Learn more at MaineCF.org.
The stakes for Democrats in Iowa are high this year after huge losses recently.
The reason we are going to win is because we are at a crossroads in our party and in this country.
I'm Mary Louise Kelly. Democrats diagnose what went wrong in Iowa and try to reverse the trend by November. That story this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 each weekday evening. Primary day is coming up. It's June 12th, and Your Vote 2018 from Maine Public News can help. We have party candidate profile interviews that can help you compare where the candidates stand on the issues, the latest election news, the radio and television on-air debate schedule, and the debates themselves on demand. Both the Democrats and Republicans will be choosing their nominees for governor, and the Democrats will choose a candidate for the 2nd Congressional District. Don't wait till you're in the voting booth. Visit mainepublic.org and click on Your Vote.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, getting help for wounded veterans at the Travis Mills Foundation Retreat. Joining me, Travis Mills. He's one of only five veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan to survive his quadruple amputee injuries. He's the author of the New York Times bestseller, Tough As They Come. To say you survived, Travis, just seems like the wrong word. There needs to be a more precise word for that. Because you're not just, well, like, barely surviving.
I'll tell you what. At first, I survived. And then I it's kind of the whole wounded warrior stuff. I thought it had a negative tone, being called wounded all the time. So, like we said, recalibrate a warrior. I've had really great mentors that have pushed me forward, such as, like, Kelly over here. And my other therapist at the hospital, Carrie Quinn. And at the hospital, you just see all these people giving back. So my wife and I wanted to give back, and we thought, how can we do this? And then I found out that I'm decent speaking in front of people, I guess. So I have a good time doing that. I got to be in Milo tomorrow at a presentation. I think that I'm able to realize that this happened. It's awful, but life goes on. I've learned two life lessons from this, and I always tell everybody when I talk to them, the first thing is I realized, don't dwell on the past. I can't change what happened yesterday. I can't change what happened 6 years ago. So I reminisce the past 25 great years with arms and legs, and I've had 6 wonderful years and a couple of bumps in the road, obviously. But all in all, it's really good. And then I always tell people, you know what? You can't always control your situation. And that was very apparent on my second deployment when I got in a 36-hour-long day. It was supposed to be 5 hours long. When everything could go wrong, it did. And then in my injury, I found out I can't control the situation, but I can always control my attitude. So I became just very dedicated to my workout, realizing that was my new job. So I tried to go to physical therapy 4 hours a day, occupational therapy 4 hours a day, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. And the worst part for me was actually going to occupational. It was with Joe. He's awful. No, it was going on the weekends was the worst part. I couldn't stand sitting around. And, I'm just fortunate that there are prosthetics out there where I have this prosthetic arm. I can feed myself. I drove here, not very safely. I'm an awful driver.
Kelly, did you ride with him driving?
I did ride with him today. He did all right.
We took a corner, and I swerved at my buddy, and she thought I just messed up. I said, no, that was Bruce. I was just swerving at Bruce. She goes, oh, I thought you just messed up. I wasn't going to say nothing, though. but, I failed my driver's license test, but then luckily I had enough money to pay the guy off, so totally good now. You guys in Augusta there, Terry Bino, he'll take your paychecks.
Poor Terry. Also here with Travis is Kelly McGowie, Program Director for the Travis Mills Foundation Retreat for Wounded Vets and Families. Before joining the foundation, Kelly was a physical therapist at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center in the amputee clinic. And again, we invite you to join the conversation. Have you read Travis's book or seen the documentary? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We will go to Steve, who's calling from Rome. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing today, folks?
Great.
Travis, Steve McCarthy, Integrity Builders. I met you at the first facility you folks worked with. We donated the handicap ramps. I have also now worked closely with a day store. They suggested that a 6-foot-wide dock section behind their facility would enable you folks to enjoy the entire downtown that much better. And if there's anything that you folks need in the future and I am able to help, by all means, I am available.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're very fortunate we can get under that bridge on Castle Island Road there and take guys to get ice cream and their families. So, that does help, but I appreciate the support. This has been kind of a slow growing process, what we've been through. And obviously the ramps you guys helped us put in there the first time went very well. That camp just fell through for us. And now, I mean, yeah. Now we have a beautiful facility. But thank you so much for your support and your help. And I'm glad we're not too rowdy out there in Rome. You know, I was hoping that you weren't going to call and yell at me for us being too rowdy.
Sometimes I think we need a little more fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we definitely have a little bit of that. Yeah.
Awesome. I will. I'll get my number over to your foundation over in Rome. But if you ever need anything, and myself and Integrity Builders can provide, it's yours.
Absolutely. Oh, appreciate that, and thank you for calling in and your support.
Thanks, Steve, for calling in. We have an email from Barbara. Who or what underwrites their work? How do you raise the money to keep it all going?
Coming on wonderful programs like this, and everybody out there saying, you know what? I think I'm going to throw $5 that way. I'll be honest. We have some wonderful donations that come in from people. This one lady, she was 87. Now she's got to be 90, but she's 87. She had her old Cutlass broke down car in the back of her house in Vegas. And she went out there and she found $1.37, like $1 and like 37 cents and change. And she put it in an envelope. She said, I don't have much, but this is all I have. I hope this works. And I mean, that's so touching. Then we have people that want to stay anonymous, but they donated $500,000. And, you know, every donation counts, every donation is special. And everybody that gets behind our mission can understand that we're very transparent online. We, you know, we have all of our financials up, and you know, I'll never pay myself for this. That's why I travel the nation speaking. And I'm able to do other things because this is not about myself or my wife or my other five board members that aren't my wife and me, you know, trying to get any money out of this. So they all come in from donations. Yesterday we had a 5K. It was the biggest one, and we were able to raise $105,000. I mean, we started the planning for this in January, but it was an amazing time in downtown Augusta. Over, I think, 1,200 people came out, and we had virtual runners. And, you know, it's just everybody getting on board and understanding that this money goes to such a wonderful cause, and we're so grateful to be able to do the work that we do.
Did you run?
Did I run? I had so many pictures I had to take with people. I mean, I wanted to. Totally want. I left my other legs at home with the blades on. They're at the.
Oh, you left your blades at home?
Yeah, I just, you know. She swore I was going to run it this year, but she didn't even run it this year.
I swore that if you advertised that you were running, that you would run it. So there were no videos of Travis running before.
I used to do that. I used to like go work out for one day, and I just change my shirt every time I go down and do a wind sprint. So I'd have like 10 or 12 wind sprints. So every month I could release one video of me like just running down here.
So Kelly, when you were at Walter Reed, you worked with a bunch of wounded veterans. Was Travis sort of typical?
Travis's recovery went very well for him, but his attitude as soon as he came through the door, much like today, talking 100 miles an hour about how he was going to be the fastest one out of here and he was going to, you know, just go and do all of these great things. And, you know, he had a very very good attitude from the beginning. And from the people that knew him before, they'll tell you that it was the way he's always been. He just slowed down a little bit briefly. And so it was contagious. You know, people picked up on that. They fed off of that. And, I mean, I used Travis numerous times to be the demo for somebody who was on paper had not as bad of an injury, and yet Travis is the one coming to teach them how to do something correctly, whether it was go downstairs or get up from the floor. So, you know, he came in like a wrecking ball with you know, enthusiasm, where he would come through the door and he would – put the radio on and he would get to work, and other people would pick up on that.
We had special Fridays.
We did. Kesha Radio Fridays.
Kesha Fridays.
God, that's not what I expected.
On Pandora.
I would come in and say, oh my gosh, guys, it's Kesha Friday. And we'd get my phone and put it on Kesha Radio on Pandora, and we would throw down some Kesha Fridays. But, you know, I was actually older than a lot of the guys get injured.
And you were 23.
I was 25.
Okay.
25, yeah.
25, still.
But, I mean, I'm still young. I know. I feel like it's young. Now I'm 31, 2 feet in the grave. Oh, my gosh. I fell apart at 25. Yeah, I know. I get, but anyway, so I would come in and be in a good spirit, but a lot of these guys get hit are like 18, 19, 20 maybe, and I just want to be a good role model, a mentor for them. I would go to the rooms and meet everybody that came in the hospital on one of their first or second days. At the hospital, and I'd walk in or take my wheelchair in and say, hey, what's going on? You know, and I have so many wonderful memories of that, just being like, you're going to be fine. And the doctors and therapists and the nurses and everybody would finally got to the point where, like, hey, we have a guy upstairs. They couldn't tell me his name or his room number. But they'd say, he's not in 40 and he's not in 42. And I'm like, oh, I'm not a Marine. Like, I can count. So I would be able to go find room 41, obviously. And then it turned into, like, hey, we have, like, PFC Johnson. He's missing both legs, one above, one below. His wife, his mom, and his daughter are here. Can you go say hi?
You became a mentor.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it, you know, just like my speaking, I mean, it's therapeutic for me to be able to get out there and talk about things.
Why do you think you had that? You had that ability to have such an amazing attitude despite such a terrible, terrible injuries.
Well, I mean, when you boil it down, I'll be honest. In the very beginning, I woke up in Germany on my 25th birthday, actually. It's the first time I woke up. I woke up and I was like, you know, why'd this happen? I mean, the first thing I said was my soldiers, my brother-in-law was in the room, he told me. And then I asked if I was paralyzed. But in my whole head, I was like, how is this better than dying? Like, what? Why would I want to live through something like this? Like, my wife can get paid, you know, whatever for me dying and go about her business. That I'd have to take care of me the rest of her life. And that completely shifted when I got to Walter Reed and I got the chance to, like, have a couple of days to think about it. And about 2 weeks in, I was just like, you know what? Let's just get better. You know, there's nothing I can do right now. I think it does boil down to my support. My daughter was everything. My daughter, when I say I met people in their rooms, that just meant that my daughter was buckled into my wheelchair at like 9, 10 months old. And we'd go get a cookie first. People at the Subway and Dunkin' Donuts all knew Chloe. People at the cafeteria knew my daughter. And my dad was in the hospital. And then he went home to help my grandpa out, and he came back and he was pushing my daughter in a stroller. And people are like, hey, whoa, why do you have Chloe? Like, what are you doing with her? And he's like, I'm Travis's dad. And they're like, I need to see your ID to make sure. And this is just, you know, patients and moms and stuff at the hospital and doctors. But I'd say I was always upbeat and positive. I always try to make the best of any situation. But having my daughter there is just, you know, is a game changer because I can't fail in her. You know, I can't fail. She'll see me fall down, but she won't see me ever give up. And I got to set a good example because I'm her dad. Like tonight, I'll be honest with you, when I got here, I'm not going to get her from school today. But we're going to go gymnastics, you know. And she took top podium the last three events she went to. And I told her the first time she's not in the very top, number one, she just walk home. You know what I mean? Like, I'm that parent. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Well, wait a minute. You earlier in this program said there's no way you're getting on a horse, aren't you, Mr. Never Give Up, Never Quit?
Most situations, yeah. Yeah. I mean.
We have a new accessible ramp that'll be here within the next 2 weeks to put people on horses.
I mean, it's not quitting if I just don't want to do it. I'm not giving up on my long time, you know, riding a horse. I did it one time in Colorado and they just strapped me. It was like a Velcro saddle with a Velcro seat. They just like right on there and I couldn't get off. And I was like, this 6 foot tall, huge, ginormous horse, I'm out.
There's something very special about the clinic at the hospital and that there are so many people there at different stages in their recovery that everybody can't have a bad day at the same time. And so we feel a lot like that at the foundation, too, where there's 8 families there. They're all at a different phase of their new normal and their lifelong recovery. And so somebody is always there to inspire someone else, whether they realize it or not. You know, many of them don't want to hear that they're a hero or that they've done anything special. They've had a bad day at work and it was just the way the cards fell. And, you know, to be able to share that with each other is sort of the point of what we're trying to create. And so for people like Chloe who, you know, yeah, my dad doesn't have any arms and legs, you know, can share with some other kid about, yeah, I lost my dad's hand the other day too, you know, and that's just something that they can express with each other that, you know, from the outsider looking in, you can see it, but you can't be on that level with them. And so, you know, to be able to have that at the hospital with those families is, and then they leave and they go back to their communities at home and they may be the only veteran in the community or the only one that's physically injured. And, you know, and so then that brings a whole new set of struggles. And so to be able to share those and learn from each other and create a new network and new opportunities with other people when they go home, you know, is sort of, I think, the idea of what started with Travis visiting those people's rooms and, you know, kind of blowing in with Chloe, who, you know, recognized him, and that was that, whether he had his arms and his legs or not. And so to be able to go from room to room there or room to room here is, you know, just kind of an extension of that.
Oh, yeah. And I'm always game planning in my head. I'm always thinking, like, how can I get ahead of the situation? So I was always worried my daughter was going to get made fun of because dad's, you know, a robot. But I'm very tied in with my local school at her elementary school there. And I just gave a presentation at her school. And instead of me being like the odd guy with no arms and legs, people already know my story at the school, and the school is very nice to me. But I made sure that she was part of the presentation. Chloe, come on up here. Take my hand off. Show them how it works. I had her, you know, my neighbor's kid, who was my daughter's best friend, and me and her father owned a business together. I had her come up too and show the kids around. So it's, you know, for me, it's all about just trying to get in front of it. Like, I couldn't change that I got injured. I might as well make the best of it. I can't change that I have prosthetics, but I'm going to try to walk the best I can. I can't change that, you know, my daughter has a dad with no arms and legs, but I can try to make sure that I'm the one taking her here. I'm the one taking her daddy-daughter dates. And my wife now won't even really go take me out to lunch because everybody wants to talk to me, and that's fine because that's what we do for a living. But she's like, you know, I can't even go in public with you, Travis, because I end up just sitting there by myself while you talk to everybody. I said, I'll work on it. I'll work on it. But no, my wife, I'm just kidding. We love the support. We're thankful for everything. Couldn't pick a better place to live. Truth be told, I said, let's go to Michigan, where I'm from, and she said no. I said it one more time. She took my arm off, and she hit me with it. And she said, stop hitting yourself. Stop. You're being silly. Stop it. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're talking with Travis Mills and Kelly McGowie. We do have to take another quick break, but we will get to some more of your calls if you'd like to join the conversation. 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Norris, helping businesses and schools stay safe through engineered security, life safety, and emergency communication systems. NorrisInc.com.
On the next Fresh Air, David Sedaris returns to read from his new collection of personal essays, Calypso, and to talk about a lot of things, including life at age 61, the reasons he and his longtime boyfriend are monogamous but have not gotten married in spite of marriage equality, and how he tries to harness his OCD in creative and productive ways. Join us.
And join us for Fresh Air this evening at 7 o'clock. And join us at 2 o'clock following Maine Calling for Your Vote 2018 primary candidate profiles. We'll hear profiles for Craig Olson, Democrat for the 2nd District Congressional seat, and Diane Russell, a Democrat running for governor. We'll be airing the primary candidate profiles between now and June 7th here on Maine Public Radio. You can also hear them online at mainepublic.org. Just head over to the website and click on Your Vote 2018 for all the information.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, the work being done at the Travis Mills Foundation. Joining me, Travis Mills and Kelly McGowie. Travis is a veteran of both the Iraq War and the war in Afghanistan. Kelly is program director for the Travis Mills Foundation. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Tim, who's calling from Freeport. Hi, Tim. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. Travis, I just want to say, first of all, thank you for your service, brother. I am also a fellow veteran of the greatest United States Army that there is. I just want to say that, you know, I came home in one piece. I know you didn't, but I know that, I guess when I have a bad day, you know, I start feeling sorry for myself, and I hear you and see you and what you're doing. It's a real inspiration to me, and I know it is so. A lot of people out there, and I just want to say thank you again.
Hey, absolutely. I appreciate it. Thanks for your service. You know, I always tell people I didn't serve any longer. I didn't do anything greater. I had a bad day at work, case of the old Mondays. But, you know, I think what gets me through any bad day I kind of have is I remember that, just like we celebrated yesterday, I have wonderful friends that are no longer here, and they don't have the ability to take their daughter to daddy-daughter dates or to crawl around on the floor with their 9-month-old son. And to take their wife on there, you know, this June makes 10 years for my wife and I. So I just realized that I could have paid so much more of a sacrifice, and I would have willingly done it. But I'm still here. I'm still doing things productively, and I still have the people that matter most in my life. So, you know, I'm thankful for their sacrifice, on my buddies and their families. And I just remember that they would much rather be here than where they are probably now with their families. So I'm going to make the best of every day. So I hope that helps. But, you know, I appreciate it. And thanks for the call, Tim.
All right, Tim, yeah, thanks for calling. Too. Yeah. We have an email from Greg. I've been a paramedic for 18 years and am intimately acquainted with the opioid addiction problem. How'd you manage to make it through this without becoming addicted to pain meds?
You know, I actually gave my pain meds up 5 months in. I didn't think they made me feel right. So I felt like a drone. So my wife came in to give him my pain medication during Halloween, I think. We were home in our house in North Carolina. And she said, here you go. I said, I'm done with those. And she said, you're not allowed to quit those. And I said, yeah, I am. And she said, no, I don't think you are. I said, well, I'm not taking them. And that's how I did. I just kind of quit them. So I bought 5 days of pain after that, and then I was good.
But, is this an issue for some of the folks who stay at the retreat?
It's not. I don't think it's so much of an issue for that. I mean, they do have to disclose everything to Kelly. We sign an NDA. We don't put their stuff out there, but.
Yeah, we know what medications they're on when they come for safety reasons. I wouldn't say that addiction is necessarily something that shows its face. And being with us doing fun things with your family for 5 days, it's sort of a healthy distraction. You know, you take all of the normal stressors of everyday life and you take that away, and you're able to just focus on things that mean something to you and are relaxing and enjoyable. And so it sort of refocuses you on something else for a little while. There certainly are plenty of people that come that have issues with pain and many other things aside from their physical injuries once they go home. But it's not, we try not to make that our focus. Oftentimes in people's recovery, that becomes their focus, and they're focused on being a patient and on being, you know, actively recovering and things like that. And this is just about, you know, the rest of your life. It's to try to focus their recovery on their definition of their new normal and where they're going from here, and things that they can, you know, do in a positive light from this point on once they leave.
Travis, tell me about the long-term plans. You had 84 families last summer, right? And 128 already scheduled for this summer?
Absolutely. And well, I mean,
10 years from now, what are you going to be doing up there at the retreat?
I hope the same thing, bringing families in. But our big plan is that we're not going to grow over 8 families per week. We want to keep it simple and intimate. We want to make sure that we have the ability to build, I think, 2 more buildings. We have all getting designed right now, and then another addition onto our staffing quarters, because we want to be able to bring interns out and do a program there, since, you know, if they got an internship, I know a doctor that could do stuff. Oh, that's you. But our big plan is to just kind of keep chugging along, eventually maybe 35 weeks, 42 weeks out of the year, do something out there and try to give back. I mean, there's so many great winter activities we can do. We just need to get our buildings in place that we're expanding on. Because Elizabeth Arden, her first thing that she did was built a retreat. So we have a pool donated, but we need to get a building that we can put an indoor pool in with a gym and a spa center, because we give massages, but we could also have, you know, a spa set up. So, you know, it's relaxing, it's a retreat. And the people that we cater to, in case everybody's wondering, what's the criteria? We focus on the physical injuries. We partner with home-based program, so anybody that comes in with PTSD, TBI, things of that nature, the non-physical, we send them there to talk with them, because there's Mass General, Harvard Medical, and Boston Red Sox Foundation. So we feel like instead of us trying to reinvent the wheel, we get them the help that's already out there, and home-based is killing it for them. So what we focus on are physical injuries of paralyzation, amputation, and spinal cord injuries, and we want to give them the ability to come out and see all this stuff. But as we expand and grow, you know, we're just going to keep trying to do the same things we're doing now, but expand our programming with different activities, different abilities. And I'll tell you, I know that it's working, because my wife went to a Semper Fi Fund retreat for spouses of double amputations or more. And when she was there, there was 12 spouses that came that had been to our retreat, and only 4 of them knew who Kelsey was. The last 4 weeks of the families, my wife didn't go out there. She was just in her last months of pregnancy, so it was too hot. She said, I can't do it. Just tell them I said hi. But as they were talking at the Semper Fi Fund, they put these classes on, and one of the classes was the dog and pony show of nonprofits, about bringing you out and offering you this, but then wanting to get your picture and put you all over and make you feel uncomfortable. And one of the spouses stood up, said, the Travis Mills Foundation is the most amazing trip we've ever been on. And then another one. And then eventually, all 12 of them stood up, and out of those 12, 8 of them were later introduced to, by the way, the last lady to stand up was sitting with my wife, and she said, by the way, did you guys know this is Travis Mills' wife, and she's like the actual one in charge of everything, because, you know, she runs the whole everything, my life included. But they all gave her, you know, a standing ovation, and she's like came back and she told me about it, and she was just in tears. She goes, Travis, it's really working. Like, we are actually changing these families' lives for the better. And, you know, it just shows all of our hard work and dedication to this process is actually something that we're happy that we spent all these years and all this time doing.
As we go into the future, it's about continuing to meet the needs of the people that we serve. And so it's great to come and do adaptive sports and activities with your family, but ultimately we're going to need to meet more needs that they have. And so this year we started an ambassador program. So we had several participants last year that wanted to continue to be involved. How can I get more involved? How can I help? How can I spread the word? And so we just brought 10 veterans here about a week and a half ago, and we did some training with them. And we've essentially made them extensions of us. And so Travis is sought after and cannot be everywhere all the time. And our staff, though we work very hard, there's not many of us, and we can't be everywhere all the time. And so we have now 10 participants that are able to share their experiences with us and help us spread the word and increase that network. And then, you know, Travis mentioned earlier, we will be able to do things like, you know, maybe resume building or something with jobs or, you know, just as we hear back from our participants, what are the things that they're going to need from us to be able to continue? Because although a Maine summer vacation is great for everyone, and I don't think that will ever get old for them, they're certainly going to need more from us in the future. And so as we expand these programs in these weeks, you know, it will include other needs that they have that we're gonna try to meet as a part of those numbers.
All right, I know you all say, you know, very much guard privacy, but I'd love it if you could share some stories, you know, without maybe using full names, of some of the folks who have come this past year.
We were really lucky. By last year, participants that came were by invitation only, and so we knew almost all of them that came through our doors, and that was done so that we could meet the needs that they had when they came. And so one wife is terrified of flying and has awful anxiety about travel in general. They had had a lot of trouble having a baby. They'd been through a lot of treatments and various things. The baby wasn't even one. I think maybe she was 9 or 10 months, and they came. They drove because they didn't want to fly, but they came. It was the first family trip they had been on. And then they let me watch the baby while they went. We do an adult date night. So we do one sit-down dinner with the parents only. We provide babysitters and kids' activities so that they're taken care of. And we feed them a real nice dinner, and then we let them go out on the boat. And I said, I've got this one. And so I took their little one, and for the first time since that baby was born, they were able to go essentially out to dinner without the anxiety of leaving, you know, their child with a stranger or somewhere further away. And, you know, she cried at the end of the week. We have testimonials.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. We have journals in each room, sort of like a bed and breakfast does. And so we encourage people to write, to share their experiences with the next families that come in there so that they can read and say, oh, this person really enjoyed archery or enjoyed, you know, whatever it was that they did. And maybe I'll try that while I'm here. And, you know, so we love to read those and to see, you know, that's another example of how we know it's working. It's very subjective to know the efficiency or the productivity that you're doing. And so we read those, and we've had kids tell us it's better than Disney World. And every time they see you, they give you a hug. And, you know, this is the greatest trip. I have participants from last summer that are still emailing me because they're going to get to come this year. And they're like, my kids still talk about that trip. We haven't been anywhere in 6 years since I was injured. And, you know, that's the greatest thing that I could have ever given my family, to be able to kayak with them for the first time, or, you know, to conquer fears, some of them, and to do it with others, or to be reminded that they're not the only one that has bad days. Some of them have gotten married post-injury, and their spouses, they didn't know their spouses when they were injured, so they weren't a part of that network at the hospital to get to sort of problem solve and talk with others. And so they're really fascinating to watch when they come, because they just are like sponges and they can't get enough answers and enough information from others. But now they have formed sort of their own network when they go home of, you know, when their husband or wife is having a bad day and, you know, well, what do you do for this or what do you do for that? And now they have their own sort of army of people that can answer those questions for them. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful that they make our job fun and easy, and, you know, that they can do some of the hard work for us, because they, you know, sort of just are a support for each other.
All right, Travis, because I'm running the Travis Mills Foundation and doing tons of public speaking isn't enough, you have possibly a reality TV show coming out about your new business?
Yeah, I mean, I need all your listeners to type into Facebook, SSG, Travis Mills, scroll down, you see me sitting in a lawn chair, or a chair on the water behind me and click that link and then like and share it with all your friends because, I was with the Mike Rowe people for his return of the favor. He donated the ropes course, and they said, Travis, you're pretty funny. You should have your own TV show. And I thought, you know what? I've always thought that. that's obvious. And they found out I own a marina, too, and they said, we just want to, you know, make a Duck Dynasty-style show, but basically I'd be Willie. And they found out my parents run the marina for me, and, you know, so they came out and shot a sizzle reel, and it's online. But it's in the works. We'll see what happens. I'm excited about it. But if it doesn't come to fruition, I think I'm still doing okay.
It's going to be called or potentially called We Bought a Lodge.
We Bought a Lodge, yeah. We have a family-owned lodge by us since 2017.
And from I saw that sizzle reel, you call it. It looks as though your parents, they don't coddle you, do they, Travis?
Why would they? I mean, I'm their favorite. So, like, they had the first one, then my sister, and they're like, oh, my gosh, not what we wanted. Back to the drawing board. Then they had me, perfection. You know, then they thought they could duplicate me and have my brother Daisy for Whoops-a-Daisy, not what we thought.
Kelly, do you regret your move to Maine ever?
Never.
No.
Never.
How would she? I mean, she gets to hang out with me and do cool stuff. And Chris is, no, I'm just kidding. We're so grateful to have her. And matter of fact, our executive director started as a volunteer. She was working for L.L. Bean in the international marketing side. And I said, hey, you know what? Why don't we just hire you? And she's like, okay. And she gave up a great career to come work for me, and now she's in charge of everything. So, just
it's
like
a good
that.
Team.
Oh yeah,
it's a really good team. You
we
know,
say
everybody believes in the believes in the mission, and if the point of what you're doing is to serve families, then you know you can't look at the person sitting at the desk next to you and you know pull in whether it's long hours or early mornings or you know an event like yesterday. It's just you know if you can't lean on those people and know that they believe in what you're doing just as much as you are, then you know. You can't really run a family business. Mm-hmm. So, you mm-hmm. know, even our participants, when they come, one of the first things we say to them is like, well, welcome to the TMF family. You know, you have a new support network to add to your whatever you have already.
Absolutely.
Well, go ahead, Travis.
On a side note, I know Brandon's going to be upset for this, but if you guys are in the Augusta area and you want to get a boat slip on Cobbsey Lake, we just expanded 50 more boat slips. So we're taking everybody. Give us a call at Lakeside or stop in off 202. But that's my own little, you know what, yeah. Back to the foundation. It's doing well.
Yeah, and if people want to volunteer, they can go onto the website, right?
They can. Yeah. They can. They'll talk with John, our newest hire, Navy vet, and wonderful guy. And he's putting all this together. We have over 400 people that want to come out, but it's about timing and placing people. And, you know, some people can't do this week, but other people can. So if you want to get involved, be a part of it, by all means, please go online, fill that application form out. And then on top of that, make sure you visit the SSG Travis Mills page so you can see any upcoming events that we have going on.
All right. We'll put it all on our website. That was Travis Mills' voice. We're also here with Kelly McGowey, Program Director for the Travis Mills Foundation. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.